Hello, human. You're listening to The Great Everything's Culture Bites, your raw and uncut microdose of art, donuts, and transformation.
This is The Great Everything. Okay, never mind.
I remember when I first fell in love. I was in fifth grade, so that would place me at 9 or 10 years old. And I was on the school bus. I used to love that bus. It took you know, an hour or so to reach school. And I was on it for about 3 years, not continuously. And the whole time, it was always the same people, the same group of friends. And there were three sisters there who lived close by. It was a small town near Turin called Chieri. And these three sisters, Virginia, who was the youngest, she was in first grade, I believe, and she'd hang out in the back of the bus with her cousin Marta. And then there was Cecilia, who was just a year younger than me. And finally, the eldest sister, Lucina. She was 1 year older, ahead of me. Lucina would always bring her music cassettes, because that's what we listened to. She'd bring those on the bus, and the driver would play those cassettes the whole way back home. And Lucina had really good taste in music, so we listened to some good stuff. And one day, I remember I was sitting in the back, and I heard this strange sound coming from the speakers, like church bells, but deeper, more droney, more electronic. And I'd never heard anything quite like it, so my attention was fully grabbed. And then the last bell chime, it morphs into this solid, determined drum beat that just forced me to tap my foot until I was hit by the greatest guitar riff I'd ever heard. It was tough and gritty and uncompromising, but groovy at the same time. And then the singing started. They told him, "Don't you ever come around here. Don't want to see your face. You better disappear." The song was Michael Jackson's Beat It. That was my first love. Yeah, guys, I'm talking about music, by the way, just to be clear. Because, yeah, I listen to a ton of music, a ton of music. It really is my first love and my greatest love. I love food, I love philosophy, I love history, I love comic books, I love movies, I love a ton of things, but nothing quite as much as music. And even though, you know, I'm here on The Great Everything, I might seem quite narrow-minded because I'm always talking about opera and jazz and classical music and hip-hop, but despite all this, I actually have rather broad tastes. And so my first true love, crazy love, you know, the kind of love where all reason is just abandoned and you're overcome by a force, you know, more powerful than you are to resist it. That first love was Michael Jackson. Lucina, my friend, she was a major Michael Jackson fan. She was my guide into his oeuvre, into albums like Thriller and Bad and then Dangerous. Off the Wall, not so much. I think it was too disco and funky for me at the time. I was still a kid. But for the following years, all of my birthday presents had to feature Michael Jackson in some form. I remember asking for a video cassette of Thriller, the video, and there was a making of on it, which was brilliant. It was like an hour-long documentary on the making of Thriller. And I'd watch all those old concerts, you know, I'd watch Live in Bucharest in 1993, I'd watch that over and over. I'd watch the old Motown special where he first did the moonwalk, you know, to Billie Jean. And I found the music amazing, but it was actually him that I was really enthralled by. You know, his shape, it was so weird and thin. He looked almost like an alien. Nobody moved like that. Nobody looked like that. You could just recognize him from his shadow, you know? All you'd have to do is see his silhouette, you know, one of those silhouettes he'd project onto the back of the stage during his performances, and you'd know it was him, especially from how he moved. When he moved, it just felt like magic. And, you know, he's got the famous moves. He's got the moonwalk, which is jaw-dropping, admittedly. He's got the little spin where he jumps and then lands on his tippy toes. But what I really loved most was the tiny moments. The tiny little shifts and movements that he'd do, those were the most amazing. The way he'd tap his foot to the beat, you know, and he'd start with his left foot, and what he'd do, he'd point his toe down, and he'd keep that pointed to the ground, and use his toes as a pivot, rotating his heel inwards to thump it against the floor to keep the rhythm, and then, so effortlessly that you wouldn't even believe he'd move, he'd shift to tapping his other foot with this little stomping movement he'd do when he was about to get excited. I loved all these subtle shifts, you know, how he transitioned to an entirely different pose, and they were all cool poses, but you couldn't even understand how he'd done it. These poses, they were just weird and awesome. You know, he had the one, the famous one, the smooth criminal one, where he's got one arm extended sideways and the other one's pushing his head forward, or the other one where he'll raise his hand up and then he'd shift his leg sideways and he'd bring his hand down, almost like he was pulling down a giant invisible zipper. How could a human move like that? It's magic. Michael Jackson was just the greatest showman who ever lived. So I'd spend hours in front of the TV trying to imitate all those moves and those poses. I stole my father's fedora, which was black, or dark blue, I think, and what I did, I put white tape around it, so it was a makeshift inverse version of Michael Jackson's smooth criminal hat, you know, which is white with a dark strip. And then I got myself a white leather glove, which I filled with purple glitter to have my own Michael Jackson glove. And every Halloween, I was Michael Jackson. Every school performance, I do Michael Jackson. Usually I do Jam. And once, while on holiday with my folks in Santo Domingo, the beach resort hosted a little talent show, you know, like a Santo Domingo's Got Talent. And I participated, by far the youngest person there, 10 years old. And I danced to Smooth Criminal in front of hundreds of tourists. I was good too. For days after that, I just reveled in the attention. Everyone was stopping me, just calling me, "Hey, Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson." It was so much fun. So Michael Jackson was one of my great heroes in life. All through my childhood, it was Superman, it was Rocky, it was Michael Jackson. And today is his birthday. He was born on the 29th of August, 1958. And so it wouldn't feel right not to say just a few words. You know, those younger might think that Michael Jackson, you know, it was just like the Justin Bieber of our time. Although that doesn't really work because, you know, Justin Bieber doesn't really have much in terms of artistic credibility. He's quite reviled by most people who aren't his little girl fans. So what would you call him? Would you call him the Kendrick Lamar of his time? Because that doesn't work either. You know, Kendrick simply isn't a household name the same way Michael Jackson was. Maybe I think the closest comparison that works is the Beyoncé. He was the Beyoncé of his time. But still, that doesn't quite work. And that's the point. There is nobody like Michael Jackson. Because he's more than just the greatest pop star of all time, which he is. He's also the template for what the word pop star means today. In that sense, he's also one of the most influential musicians that ever lived. I'm talking top 10 of all time. I'm including, you know, Beethoven in that list. And let me clarify, you know, when I say influential, I mean in terms of altering the course of music, of altering culture. And there's not that many names on that list, especially when it comes to the 20th century. You start with Louis Armstrong, you know, Louis Armstrong, that's where it all started. He's the guy who first grabbed the world's attention by playing black music, jazz, which planted the seeds for all of modern-day popular music, from soul to disco to hip-hop and onwards. None of it is possible without Louis Armstrong and a whole bunch of other musicians trying to be like Louis Armstrong, a whole generation after him. The jazz trend evolved. You know, jazz spawned rhythm and blues, which spawned boogie-woogie, which became rock and roll. And you had some big stars, Chuck Berry, Elvis, you know, who some peons think was the greatest. He was not. But the real big break for rock and roll was the Beatles, you know, the prototype of what a modern band would be like. Four guys, one on a drum, one on a bass, one on a guitar, vocals, and then it's just a bunch of people, some great, you know, like the Rolling Stones, The Who, Led Zeppelin, all those derivatives, all trying to be the new Beatles. And still today, when it comes to rock music, that template holds. And then came the age of pop, starting with funk and disco, and then evolving throughout the 80s. And for that movement, and we're still in that movement, it's shifted, you know, it's incorporated some electronica, it's incorporated a lot of hip-hop, it's become more R&B, but it's still that kind of pop music. And that genre, in that, the greatest was Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson defines what it means to be a modern pop star, a great showman. Now, I've been to many concerts and gigs, but nowhere have I seen the love, the adoration, and quite frankly, just the mass hysteria that I saw at that Michael Jackson concert, you know, I attended as a kid in Budapest. History World Tour. I called Lucina about it as soon as I did. I was trying to make her jealous, but really, I was just so excited. But it was fine because just a year later, she saw Michael Jackson too, in Milan, I think. I was really happy for her. So I guess this is just me paying respects to Michael Jackson, the greatest pop star who ever lived, the greatest dancer, the greatest showman, and someone whose art gave joy to millions of people over half a century. And that's not nothing. And as for his influence today, look, I look at every pop star, from Justin Timberlake to Bruno Mars to Kanye to Usher, and even the ladies, you know, the Beyoncés, the Lady Gagas and the Taylor Swifts. And admittedly, the girls, there's a lot of Madonna in them, you know, they're all wearing pointy bras and straddling chairs on stage. But when I look at how they move on stage and how they sing, and I listen to the backing vocals and the structure of the songs and who they're trying to be, those dance moves, all I see is Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm.